morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Wherever you are and from wherever you are joining you, God welcomes you here, and so do we at St. John's. Before we begin worship this morning, a couple of brief announcements. First, it is with sadness that we mark the passing of Bert Grindley, who passed away last evening, so our sympathies go out to Margaret, and as more details become available, we will share them with the congregation. This evening at 7 p.m., via the live stream, this is an online event only, but via the live stream this evening at 7 p.m., we will be presenting a service of solemn remembrance for the life of His Royal Highness the Prince Philip, who passed away this past Friday. And then next Saturday morning at 9:45, quarter to 10, the bells here at St. John's will toll as we prepare for his funeral services in the United Kingdom. And if you are interested in being a volunteer to come and do some of the bell tolling, then please give us a call here at the church this week, and we will try to include you in that. And our final announcements for this morning is we're pleased to welcome Alex Plant to the pulpit this morning. For those who don't know Alex, he is a member here at St. John's and a student for the ministry studying at Montreal Presbyterian College in Montreal. Man, my mind went completely on me there. He's a student at Presbyterian College in Montreal, and we welcome Alex here to the pulpit this morning. And with that, I turn the rest of the service to Alex.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Reverend Adams and the congregation here at St. John's for allowing me to preach this morning. It is an honor and a privilege to be a member of this congregation and to have the love and support that you all give me while I attend seminary. Let us come together in joyous celebration. We first light the Christ candle as a reminder of God's presence with us. Let us join together in the call to worship. The words will appear before you on the screen. We join together with joyous hearts, for Easter continues.
In the darkness has been overtaken by light. Fear has turned to peace.
We celebrate the presence of the risen Christ among us.
Doubt and erased, and uncertainty has turned to faith.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Let us offer our prayers and our praise with humble, hopeful hearts.
And let us come together for the prayer of adoration. Let us pray. God of new life, we come to you rejoicing in the mystery of the risen Christ, present among us always, even when we least expect him. We marvel at your constant love, your victory over sin and death, and your resurrecting hope, which embraces us in every circumstance. Trusting in these gifts, we seek to live as Easter people in every place and time. Strengthen us with the gift of your Holy Spirit in this time of worship, and bless us with your peace through Christ our risen Lord. This we pray in your most holy name. Amen. Our opening hymn is At the Dawning of Salvation. The words will appear before you on the screen.
I the dawning of salvation in the morning of the world. Christ is raised a living banner by the love of God unfurled. Through the daylight, through the darkness, Christ sees on his great array. All the saints and all the sinners he has gathered on his way. He is risen in the morning. He is risen from the dead. He is laughter after sadness. He is light when night has fled. He has suffered. He has triumphed. Life is his alone to give. As he gave it, once he gives it evermore, thus we may give. For the glory of salvation in the dawn of Easter day, we are
let us come together and confess our shortcomings as we say together the prayer of confession, which will be on the screen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess there are times when our trust in you weakens and we become anxious about many things. We are told to love one another, yet we fear those who differ from us. We cling to our personal agendas and forget to live as a community of believers, seeking our own interests before the needs of others. Open our eyes to the many signs of your love for us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, rekindle our passion for you so we can work together to witness your love. This we pray in your most precious name. Amen. Hear the words of the risen Christ. Peace be with you. Receive the peace and forgiveness of Christ, and rejoice in his gift of new life this day and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for you all to imagine something that you've seen, something spectacular, something amazing, something you've only seen maybe once or twice, or something that might be regular, but it's still a huge spectacle either way. Some things that come to my mind might be fireworks, or the introduction of a new technology, or maybe it's a really big world event like the Olympics, or whatever comes to mind. And I'd like you to think about what impact that had on you at the time that it happened. And think about how much it impacts you now. For me, I like to think of a little bit of a smaller example. There's a podcast that I like to listen to from time to time. And I first started listening to them when they first started making episodes. And when I first started listening, I was really enthusiastic about what they were doing. And they also encouraged people to talk with them. They were pretty open with their social media, and so I began messaging them saying, you know, thank you, I really enjoyed that. And as the podcast evolved and grew, it never really occurred to me how much of an impact that I as a listener had on them. It was not until later on that they messaged me saying thank you. And at first I was a little bit confused because I'm thinking, well, why are they thanking me? I know that they can thank their listeners generally for listening to their podcast, like a store thanking their customers for shopping at their store. But I thought it was very peculiar that they messaged me in particular. And so I pressed them saying, well, why are you thanking me specifically? And they revealed to me that it was because of me listening to them early on gave them the encouragement to keep going. They were thinking of just giving up on the podcast. The viewership was a little bit low when they first started and there wasn't a lot of momentum. But because of the way that I reached out to them, that gave them the motivation to keep going. And they're still going to this day. And then I had to ask myself then, and ask myself now, what just happened? What did I witness? How much of an impact did my presence really have on them? Sometimes it might be a big moment that has the impressions in our lives, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that come to us. But sometimes it's also the little things, too. Some things that we might not notice right away, but then as we get older, we could recognize that it actually had a better impact than we thought. And today we're going to take what we experienced last week with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to try and comprehend what happened, what it really meant. Let us come together for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray for you to open our minds and hearts to receive your living word and be filled with renewed hope. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon us, O Lord, as we listen to your word. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us come now to listen to the word of God.
Our first scripture reading is from the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed the private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what they were sold, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Our second reading is taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 133, and it is not responsive. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls in the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. this life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his words to us.
Let us come together for a brief moment of prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. This we pray in your most precious name. Amen. I'd like to begin by going back to last week's service. I'm sure that we can all recall what we celebrated. The joyous resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a momentous time that was for us. He has conquered sin and death. He has paid the ultimate price and sacrificed himself to save humanity from the grip of damnation. And yet I find myself thinking about what happened last week and the Easter from last year and the one before that and the one before that and so on. Each year, churches from around the world celebrate this moment in our divine relationship with God. But once Easter is over and a few Sundays have passed, what's on our minds? Some may still be joyous and thankful, but others
might not have that same excitement. We are taught in Sunday school that same story year after year, how Jesus was betrayed by Judas, how Jesus was crucified and died for our sins, buried in the tomb, and then rose from the dead 3 days later. But after hearing the story so many times, it becomes memorized. But do we stop to really think about how significant that really is? I remember my time working at Grace Field Christian Camp and Retreat Center. The staff were given a brief overview of the curriculum that would be used for the campers that summer. And those of us who were tasked with planning the activities and the worship had even more time spent with the material. Putting on the same activities and reading the same scriptures week after week after week. And for the campers, it was great. They only were there for a week. They would hear the scriptures and do the activities as if it was fresh for them. And meanwhile, the staff had heard the stories and the activities so many times. For some of us, it became an automatic thought. It lost its meaning to us. When we hear Jesus was raised from the dead, I'm not sure about you, but from time to time, I admit I will just sometimes sit there and say, yep, that's what happened. As if there is an everyday normal occurrence. We no longer hear the dramatic gasps and the disbelieving sighs when we hear the story. This seemingly impossible story is just about the most preposterous thing that you could ever hear in your life. You mean to tell me that the man that we all saw getting crucified is now suddenly alive? We saw him die on the cross. We saw the soldiers casting lots for his clothes. We saw the lifeless body being removed from the cross. We saw the body being laid in the tomb. The tomb was sealed shut. There were guards around the entrance. There were so many witnesses who will say the exact same thing that I saw. And yet we are told that Jesus Christ is risen. When we look at John's gospel, we see that the disciples were in hiding. They just witnessed the same thing that I described a moment ago. The doors of the house were locked. They isolated themselves out of fear. And then Jesus came into the house and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The scriptures say that after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. But the disciples did not recognize Jesus as he stood among them. And it was only until after he showed them the physical proof that indeed it was Jesus Christ who was standing among them, showing them the holes on his hands and his side, that is when they finally rejoiced. We hear that one of the disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus appeared to them. Thomas, along with the other disciples, are filled with grief, sadness, fear, guilt, and so many other overwhelming emotions. He does not know that Jesus has been risen from the dead. The disciples try to tell him, but he doesn't believe them. It's either a really bad practical joke, or the fear and grief had caused the disciples to go mad. Thomas says to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." 1 week passes, and again, Jesus appears to the disciples, this time including Thomas. He finally witnessed Jesus' resurrection for himself. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. We see that Thomas believes the disciples' witness of the resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus asks Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And just like the disciples, we too must rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus. What did we just witness? The Messiah, sent to us by God to redeem us from sin, has just risen from the grips of death. He is risen. We do not have the advantage of Thomas. We do not have the holes to feel in the hands of Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We must never lose our joy and celebration of this moment. We must not let this become mundane, become yet another day in the Christian calendar. We must hold on to our faith. We must take the time and ask ourselves, what did we just witness? I just saw Christ coming from the dead. What was that? Oftentimes we may struggle to comprehend the scale of Jesus' sacrifice. Acts 4:33 tells us, "With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And we must follow in that example. We must recognize what Jesus has done for us. Not just the people of his time, but for all people, past, present, and future. We must witness this not only to one another, but also to ourselves as well. We must walk in the light of his fellowship. We must confess our sins to him. His crucifixion and his resurrection have saved us. Jesus could have defied God's plan for him. He could have done as the soldiers mocked him for. He could have saved himself. But he didn't. He chose instead to save us. He is our advocate, the one who speaks on our behalf. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Truly, it is a joyous and momentous occasion, for Jesus has done it. He committed the final act of salvation. He has brought into the light what we hide in darkness. The sins that grasp onto us have been removed and forgiven. We must turn to Christ at this moment, for it is only through him that we are forgiven. Jesus gave up his human life for us. His innocence was freely given to us. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the world, the word of life, this life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what the disciples had. This is what we have. So when we go forth from this place, do not leave your joy on the pew or the couch or wherever you're watching from. Take it with you, wherever you go. Bear witness to the resurrection of Christ. Be joyful and celebrate the gift that Jesus Christ has freely given unto us. Take the time to realize what just happened. What did we just witness? We just witnessed Christ's resurrection, given to all of us, given unto you, now and forever. Go forth and spread the good news. Amen. In this season of Easter, we celebrate God's most precious gift to us in Christ's dying and rising. As we pause to learn about today's mission moment, let us give thanks for God's blessing. Let us come together in the prayers of the people, which will be followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise for your renewing presence in our lives and for the many ways you make yourself known to us, in words spoken in peace, in actions that embody love, in creation that awakens wonder within us, and in worship that inspires faith and understanding. With memories of the grace you have shown us, and with confidence in you, you will show us more. We pray that all people will come to know the life-giving joy we find in Christ. We pray for those who are feeling fearful, worried, and overwhelmed, especially as the pandemic restrictions continue to change. Grant your peace upon us and give us the strength to face those challenges in our lives. We pray for our national, provincial, and municipal leaders. Grant them your wisdom and understanding as they lead our communities through this difficult time. We pray for those who face violence and unrest each day in countries around the world and at home in our own community. For those who live in poverty and for those who face rejection and discrimination, we pray that you reveal your loving grace to us all. We pray that injustice be met with your justice, that cruelty be met with your kindness, and that ignorance be met with your holy wisdom. We pray for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II on the passing of His Royal Highness Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. Grant unto her and to all the people of the Commonwealth strength and peace through this difficult loss. Give all of us your comfort and compassion. God, our Maker, hear our prayers and use us in ways we may not yet even imagine to respond to those around us with love, as we see in Jesus Christ and the confidence we draw from His resurrection. With hopeful hearts, we offer the prayer that He has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Thine Be the Glory. The words will appear before you on the screen. And now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.